Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle. Presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk. Here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle at Eric Goodman. Today, there's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, hardwood flooring, a hot tub, a boat, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Exactly 24 hours ago, we said, hey, is Jamal Murray going to play? He's got a strained calf. Not sure if he's going to go. Come to eventually find out, Michael Malone, I don't think you want him to play.
No.
Jamal wanted to play. It's a good thing he did.
Yeah, they don't win without him, period.
Nope.
So, you know, it was a look, I'm never going to take for granted a series win in the playoffs. That was the most stressful five-game series a team will ever play and win.
Ever.
Ever. I mean, It was just stressful.
Are you going all Brian Windhorst?
No.
Actually, you know what the funny thing is?
No.
We have poked a lot of fun at him for his comment, which was, that's the greatest performance by any team that ever got swept in the playoffs. I'll tell you this, it is one of the greatest performances by any team that ever lost in five games in a playoff series when you lead in the series in like 73% of those minutes.
Yeah, but you can't. But you can't close, and that's the key.
I understand.
So great. Your performance was really solid for about 65-70% of the time, but you couldn't do the things necessary to close.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. You feeling good about the Nuggets heading into the next round?
What does that have to do with the Lakers?
How good are you feeling about the Nuggets going into the next round? Because right now they don't look like a great basketball team. Yes, they can close, but they certainly can't start. And against Minnesota, they're going to get their teeth
So you're calling your shot right now?
What do you want to bet? I'll bet you anything you want that if they're trailing at halftime of every single game, they do not
love your ifs. What? Give me no ifs.
I don't know.
Just said they're going to get their teeth kicked in. What? Give me the scent. Give me the.
I just said it, but you talked over me.
Mm.
What I said was, I'll repeat it again.
All right.
Actually, I did say. You want to tell him? You want to tell Bruce what I said as he was talking over me?
The slow starts.
Yeah. What I said was, what do you want to bet they don't win this series if they trail at halftime every single game?
Mm-hmm.
They won't. Point is, I don't think any reasonable Nuggets fan is feeling great heading into Saturday.
No, I would agree with that. You and I agree on that statement.
Right.
Yes. You don't feel, but also the thing that is bothering me now is not even the manner in which they're playing, it's how beat up they are. That's more important to me right now. If you're healthy and you get another series, new matchups, things change. You never know. The Nuggets can come out. They can play good basketball. There could be something about the matchup that works better for them against Minnesota, even though Minnesota is clearly a better team than the Lakers, without question. We don't know. But I would agree with you. Right now, I would consider the Nuggets to be underdogs.
They should be.
Yeah, I think pretty good underdogs in this series, even with the home court advantage.
And, oh, by the way, when you talk about injuries, the Nuggets wouldn't even be playing the Timberwolves on Saturday. Had Karl Anthony Towns been healthy, the Timberwolves would have run away with the West if Karl Anthony Towns was healthy. So there wouldn't even been a game against Minnesota. I mean, let's not go down the injury road. KCP got dinged up. The fact that he played was pretty impressive.
Well, I am going to go down the injury road because I don't care about Minnesota. I care about...
You only care about the Nuggets injuries.
That's it.
So If the Nuggets are injured, it's a big deal. If Minnesota is,
no, I'm not saying
no, no big whoop.
I'm not saying that. You like to add things.
You just got to be fair about it.
I am being fair about it. I don't care about Minnesota. You just made a statement based on speculation because you don't know how things would have worked if Karl Anthony Towns would have been healthy. You don't know because it didn't happen. Here's what we know. The Nuggets are compromised right now by their physical situation, similarly to what Minnesota could have been compromised in their situation. But I can't worry about that. All I can think of is what are the Nuggets going to do here in the next 4 or 5 days to get themselves healthy? That's the biggest issue at this point, because you're right. They're not playing winning basketball. They're winning games,
yep,
but they're not playing good basketball. And that's an issue. And I don't know. I mean, at this point, right, we talked about it yesterday and we agreed. I feel like the Avs are a better bet right now than the Nuggets are. And the Nuggets are the defending champions that just beat the Lakers in 5 games. So are we splitting hairs, or are there some very real things here that are concerning, especially going into a matchup, which I think that we both agree is problematic.
Yeah,
on a lot problematic.
Let's get back to this game real quick that we saw last night. Murray wanted to play. I think Malone was trying to be the parent and say, listen.
He tried.
Well, at the end of the day, Murray won out and then wound up winning the game.
Right.
At the end of the day, this wasn't the Michael Jordan flu game. This wasn't Willis Reed coming onto the floor at Madison Square Garden. But Murray's legend as one of the best playoff performers currently in the NBA just continues to grow.
He was a badass last night, and I was out there and watched some of his warmups, and I thought it was 60-40 that he was going to go, but that was more because of his mentality than because of his physical state, just because you knew that this guy was going to do whatever it was necessary to play. I'm not so sure if they had told him you're not playing that he would have just suited up and gone out there and played anyway. I mean, I just think that he's that kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. The concern that I have now is that we don't know how he woke up this morning or how he's waking up this morning.
And
you know better than anyone, that's the biggest question. How's he feeling this morning?
Well, at the end of the day, he's got some of the best treatment in the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's got plenty of days with no travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
To get better. You know, there are all kinds of therapies that can help you out. And he's got as much time as he is going to get. And so I feel good about that for him. I feel good about that for KCP as well. But to me, for as remarkable as it was watching Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. played 46 minutes. For a guy who has been banged up for the majority of his career to lead the team in minutes, this guy is a dog, period. I thought there was a better chance of me saying Nikola Jokic is going to be a really good leader then Michael Porter Jr. is going to become a dog. Because I'll tell you this, for a lot of times, he was a dog on the floor.
Oh.
D-O-G. He was, because he would just stand around in the corner, not play any defense. Last night, he showed a killer instinct that was like, wow. And we have seen this coming with him. I'm telling you, there are people in the Nuggets organization as of a year ago who looked at him and said, this guy's soft. He just doesn't have that mentality. He just doesn't have that killer instinct. We saw it. We have seen it on full display in this series. But last night, for a guy who was banging on the door, he broke it open. Because even though he has showed emotion this year, last night, when he hit that fall down three,
yeah,
I was like, that guy's a dog.
All right, let me ask you a question, and I will play your role, the role that you usually play.
Antagonist?
No, not antagonist, but kind of a little bit of a devil's advocate.
Sure.
If he's not hitting shots, now, everything about his game is part and parcel about hitting shots. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But do we think that he, because he hit shots in this series, mm-hmm. and he was a DAWG, he yep. was and is one.
Yeah.
No question
about
it. He is
one now.
Does he, in a series that he is a little bit more challenged, does he have the intestinal fortitude to battle through a bad shooting night? That's my question now. He was... We made the statement, they don't win this game without Jamal Murray playing last night. They don't win four games in this series without Michael Porter Jr. and the way that he played.
So your question is what? Say it again.
My question very simply is, is he strong enough of mind now that when he doesn't hit mm-hmm. a few shots early on, that he can battle through it and find clarity?
I'll answer that next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, there's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, hardwood flooring, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, Sasquatch and Wildcard Casinos up in Blackhawk, they always have great promotions. Right now, they're giving away $32,000 towards the purchase of a recreational vehicle from an authorized Colorado dealer, or a little over $22,000 in cash Mother's Day weekend on May 12th. Get finalist entries every half hour, 10 a.m. until midnight during their daily cash drawings. But if you don't win in one of their daily cash drawings, you can still win a lot of cash. They have a second chance drawing, and you'll be eligible to win $7,000. Always taking care of people up there at Sasquatch and Wildcard. They're a family-owned casino. They really do, and I'm not just saying this to say it. They treat you like family. I've been up there. You've been up there.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
It's just a great place to go.
Agreed.
Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by High Country Performance 4x4 in Englewood, Colorado's premier one-stop shop for anything and everything 4x4s and trucks. High Country Performance 4x4, building cool sh- since 1980. Go to hcp4x4.com.
So ask your question again in case people missed it.
Obviously, MPJ had a marvelous five games against the Lakers. What's the challenge now for him if he's not hitting shots?
Well, it's not as much of a challenge anymore because he's no longer just a jump shooter. Yes, he loves to shoot his threes. Mm-hmm. But the way he is attacking the basket, the way he is grabbing rebounds, and dare I say, in yesterday's game, he, even though LeBron undressed pretty much everyone, he came to play some defense. Specifically late, getting in people's faces. He is evolving into an all-around player. Is he there yet? No. But we are seeing that evolution now. We are seeing more emotion out of him. Great players do it every single night. What we have seen from him was 23 points a game in this series. And in the clincher, he played 46 minutes for a guy with a drop foot.
It's a lot of trust.
5 of 7 3-pointers. So, yeah, that accounts for 15 points. Where did the other 11 come from?
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, when you look at Michael Porter Jr.'s career, if he scored 18 points in a game, five of them were three-pointers, and then he might get another three. In this case, it's a little bit different. Let's look at game two. He hit four three-pointers, 12 points, finished with 27. In game three, hit two three-pointers, finished with 20. How is he getting those points? Now, you can make the case in game two, he hit six three-pointers for 18 and scored 22. That appears to be more of the anomaly in this series for him. Game one, hit three three-pointers. That's nine, but still scored 19.
Right.
He's finding other ways to score. He is being more aggressive, grabbing rebounds. But last night, defensively, with a couple of steals, he is rarely in foul trouble. But when he hit that three, to me, that was a breakthrough moment of this guy is into it now.
He is still, first and foremost, a catch-and-shoot guy.
Yes, and he would like to be a catch-and-shoot guy.
Yeah, but I agree. And we've seen this evolution really over the course of 2 years. It's moving along at a higher rate right now. And I think it speaks to the intelligence and the desire of MPJ to get better as a player. He has examples of it all around him. And for a young guy who came from an AAU background, he is someone that I think has really immersed himself into, I've got to be a better player. I've got to develop other things that I can do to help my team. When I am not catch, shoot, and hitting, what other ways do I affect the game? The most important stat for MPJ, beyond the ones that you pointed out, are the number of minutes that he's playing because of the trust that his head coach has in him. He's playing all the serious leverage moments.
Yeah. He played 46 minutes.
He's playing them all.
Yep.
He's playing them all. So, and while Jokic and Murray will continue to get the headlines, and rightfully so, because they're a dynamic pick and roll option, MPJ is the guy that to a large degree is providing that middle ground that you can build upon to win basketball games. That's been probably as big of takeaway as anything else that the Nuggets did in this series. Yes, their ability to close generally is something that we always count on them to do. But how they're doing it, sure, you had two big shots from Jamal Murray, but Michael Porter Jr. consistently kept the stream going in this series.
This is how I know my opinion has changed of Michael Porter Jr. There were many times in yesterday's game, and more than a few times during this series, when Jamal Murray has been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, at the end of the day, he hit two huge shots.
Right, but
he did score 32 points,
mm-hmm.
but he also threw up 28 shots.
Yeah.
Okay. He did hit 5 of 10 three-pointers. That was obviously huge.
That was.
But this is how I know my attitude about him has changed, and I'm going to ask both of you. Generally speaking, throughout his career, have you thought to yourself, get the ball to MPJ? Get the ball to him. Reggie, stop shooting. So-and-so, stop shooting. Aaron, don't shoot. Get it to Michael Porter Jr. As I'm watching this series, and specifically last night,
that's interesting.
I'm thinking,
all right,
get this guy the ball.
Yeah.
That's how my opinion has changed. And, oh, by the way, what he has done rebounding the ball, he has been more aggressive. I agreed with you that during many points of the regular season, a lot of his rebounds were ball just kind of fell in his lap.
Right.
He only had four rebounds last night.
Yeah.
Okay? But overall,
no,
he was, attacking the rim.
Much better. And he here's the beautiful thing about all this, and what do we always come back to? Matchups. He creates monstrous matchup issues.
Did he have a dunk in last night's game? Because I thought he might have.
I don't remember if he had a dunk.
Not a big one.
I don't.
But he did. Did he have one?
I don't.
Because he dunks less than Nikola Jokic. But he had a drive to the hoop that was either close to a dunk or balls above the rim or something like that.
I'd have to go back and look.
He is being aggressive.
There's no question about it. And like I just said, for me, the matchups issues that he creates are significant, and it really enhances the Nuggets' chances in any series that they play. I will tell you this, MPJ better play like he has against the Lakers, against the Timberwolves, because without that kind of guy...
He's going to have problems in this series.
It's going to be more challenging.
He's going to have problems because Jaden McDaniels is likely going to be all over him.
Yeah, he's going to have length on him, and he's going to have athlete on him.
Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player on that team. You can make the case the second best player defensively is Anthony Edwards. Jaden McDaniels, though, as of last year, was probably their best defense.
Well, hell, Naz Reid's not bad. I mean, they've got guys that can defend.
That's right.
So
he is going to have some problems, okay? Just like a lot of the Nuggets are going to have some problems scoring. I think that in this upcoming series, I don't think they're going to double-team Jokic. I don't. You can have yours. Go for 40. We're going to guard everybody else straight. That's how I would do it. Go ahead. Score 50.
Well, he won't.
Go Michael Jordan if you need to against the Celtics. Put up 63 a game. We're going to take away everybody else.
Yeah. Well, that is not a winning formula for the Nuggets. You don't ever want Nikola Jokic to be in that situation where he feels the need to have to score. Because
Tim Conley knows how the sausage is made.
Of course he does.
Now, granted, he did not bring in KCP. Okay. But other than that, almost everybody else of the core guys are his. If Murray, I understand Murray and KCP were injured, and I cannot believe that KCP still played.
Yeah, he sucked it up hard.
He really did.
I agree.
If Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt, are we talking about Timberwolves right now?
It's a fair question. Don't know. Yeah, you never know how the flow of a game based on the history of the series, that's a fair question to ask.
Based on the history of the series, my answer is,
We're talking about going back to LA.
No. We're talking about Minnesota. Why do I say that? How many times did Anthony Davis disappear in the fourth quarter? He had one game in which he didn't score. In the fourth quarter, he had another game, games two and three. Game two, Anthony Davis did not score in the fourth quarter. Game three, he had 3 points. Game four, I didn't have a chance to watch it. Full disclosure. I watched the second half.
Game four was a 2020 game, wasn't it?
Game four, I apologize. I watched the second half in the car ride back from Greeley from an event. That's how I watch it.
With your daughter driving on windy roads.
Correct.
with no light.
Correct. But I digress from that. The point is Anthony Davis did not play well in the fourth quarter. So why? Now, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, that's cool.
Do I think with a healthy and by the way, I don't know if I feel badly for this guy or he should win an Oscar, but was he really hit that hard? Apparently he was. By MPJ?
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was. But, you know, I'm not the one taking the blow. So, and I will say this, he was pretty damn good in this series.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, my God, you can make the argument that he was the best player.
He was the best player
on the floor. Yeah.
They had no answers for him.
Yeah. And, I mean... Yeah, I hear you on the fourth quarter, but if you're asking me about Anthony Davis, if you just get the 24 points he was averaging out of him He only had 15 last night.
Right.
That would have been, we're probably talking about going back to Los Angeles.
I think so as well.
But anyway, but here we are. And we should be, counting down the minutes to this series with the Timberwolves.
This is going to be, using your words, a rock fight.
It sure as hell is going to be. My son, who played basketball and watches probably more basketball than any human that I know, texted me the other night and said, NBA Finals coming.
Yeah.
And I think you can make a pretty good argument about that.
This is going to be my analogy, and this is what I'm worried about because of what I've seen out of Minnesota this year. You know that I have been
bullish,
very bullish on Minnesota.
And rightfully so.
Okay. This is what this game, and this is what worries me about this particular series, and I really hope I'm wrong. This reminds me of the movie Rocky III. Where Rocky is the champ, okay? He's fighting a bunch of cupcakes, and he's doing commercials. Like, either way, I'm not going to start naming players. And here comes Mr. T, all angry, all ready, and he wants to prove something. And the voice of Mr. T is Anthony Edwards. Because this guy is not shy about letting you know what he wants to do to you. And he embarrassed one of the top 20 players of all time in Kevin Durant. He was dunking over him, shooting over him. And I'm sure he is just salivating to say, oh, you think that Jamal Murray's all that, huh? Hitting a couple of game winners. Way to get a look at me.
And I hear you. And that's what I'd be thinking, too.
They are hungry to avenge what happened in last year's opening round. And they are healthy, and they are ready to go. And right now, the Nuggets do not look like a team. From what we've seen, you know, we talk about the light switch mentality, they do not look like a team that is ready for this fight.
Nobody knows what's coming at them more than the Nuggets themselves. They played this series. They played the first round series a year ago. They played tough games with them this year. I think
they elevated to a new level against the Suns.
It's
a new level.
Yeah.
What we just talked about with MPJ elevating his game in the Lakers series, Minnesota, they are ready to take that next step now. The way they dismantled Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Coming up after the break, the Winnipeg Jets, I think they would probably rather play this game here in Denver. Because the way they are getting skewered at home by the media is breathtaking. We'll let you know what's going on in Winnipeg next. Oh. Shake the juice, you better get up off of that thing and shake the. Say it now. Get up off of that thing and shake the. Sha la 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 la. It's down at the New Amsterdam. It's down at this yellow haired girl, Mr. Jones strikes a.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Today, there's an auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, hardwood flooring, a hot tub, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is brought to you by Nola Jane Restaurant and Bar. Let Nola Jane spice up your next trip to Lodo with the best Cajun cuisine in Denver.
We can talk about hockey being big here in Denver, or being big in Hockey Town in Detroit, mm-hmm. or being big in New York, not like it is in Canada. Pick a team in Canada and it's bigger there.
Oh,
it's yeah. pretty much the only show in town unless, sure. unless they have a CFL team or a professional curling team. With that, Winnipeg has been here before. They beat Vegas in game one last year and then got swept. And now they are on the brink of this happening again. In the meantime, Rick Bowness, the head coach of the Jets, he is getting killed for every adjustment he made in game four because nothing worked out. And believe me, oh, those people up in Winnipeg, they know hockey. And they know when they see a bad adjustment and they know that we're going to criticize our coach. With that, Jared Bednar said about making adjustments. Sometimes the adjustment is just to be better at what you do.
Amen.
Do you think the Jets being better at what they do can be better than the Avs at what they do?
No, because it boils down eventually to who you are. Not necessarily what you do, even though that's a reflection of who you are. I mean, they're not going to grow wings and get faster. Now, can they do things? You would know this better than me. Can they do things to slow the Avs down a little bit with their forecheck and physicality? Maybe. But at the end of the day, the speed with which the Avs are playing in this series is, in a simple fashion, the difference between the two teams. I'm not sure how that changes.
When you are not loaded with offensive talent, you better be a disciplined hockey team.
Right, and they haven't been. They've been taking penalty.
That's the thing, and this is what Bonus said, and this was interesting. He said, our problems are self-inflicted. You want to take penalties? Want to play three-quarter ice game? You're playing right into the Avs' hands. Our issues are self-inflicted. So I'm kind of parsing this a little bit. Do you think those penalties are born out of frustration or are they born out of being undisciplined? And I think there is a slight difference, and that's why I'm asking the question. Frustrated teams take slashing penalties. When you're undisciplined, you're not taking slashing penalties. You're upset about something and you just whack a guy in the legs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You rough a guy up a little bit more and then you get called for the penalty because you're frustrated that you're down by two or three goals or the Avs or any team has scored like three goals in like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
You're frustrated. Undisciplined is you're just out of position.
Right.
And you took an interference penalty.
Yeah. Well, Winnipeg didn't get to where they were or are by being undisciplined, but they have gotten to where they are in this series by being frustrated.
I think they are frustrated.
I agree. And part of that is the recognition of how the hell are we going to beat these guys? They got it the first night. They got it the first night because they had a sieve on the other side and the Avs didn't bother playing any defense. The tenor of this series has changed because they've been firm on the blue line. And as you mapped out yesterday, they've put themselves in a position to get out of the zone quickly and to get it to their Jets. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Yeah. So who's got the Jets?
By the way, did the Avs play the Jets four or five times this year? Do you remember?
They played them
three times. Three in the regular season.
Three times in the regular and lost four straight to them, counting the first game of the playoffs.
So if I'm not mistaken, I believe Winnipeg outscored the Avalanche 17-4 in the regular season.
Something like that, yes.
Right. And the Avs in four playoff games have put up 22 goals.
Yeah. To the guy that's going to win Vezina.
The Vezina.
No.
Yes, I'm 3 years old. I laugh when I say Vezina. It's Vezina.
Okay. You go ahead and continue.
Anyway. their defense. I don't know what Hellebuck can honestly do with the way the Avs are moving the puck around.
I don't either.
And it's just rush after rush after rush.
But dude, I mean, the guy's a fantastic keeper. We all understand this.
I mean, have you really seen a lot of soft goals that he's given up?
No. I mean,
you know what a soft goal to me is? Five hole. That's a soft goal.
Right.
Generally speaking.
Yep.
He doesn't give up a lot of five hole goals.
No. But, and how difficult is it for any keeper when you're playing a team that literally comes at you in waves? And this gets back to your two-year contention and description of the importance of a third and a fourth line, especially in the postseason.
And, oh, by the way, let's throw something else in here. Great goalies make great saves. I get that. But when you're constantly facing a power play from the other team,
that hurts too.
I mean, 5-on-4 when you're rolling out Rantanen and McKinnon and McCarr and Taves and Nichushkin. I mean, sorry.
What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, except take your goal on the way out.
And right now the Avs have been taped to tape and they're cycling the puck and they're doing all the right things on offense. At some point, because their passing is so crisp, your head is literally on a swivel. And when the passes are a little too crisp and a little too fast, I'm sorry, your reflexes are not going to make every save. They're also getting traffic in front of the net as well.
Right. I mean, you feel like they closed this tonight? With Winnipeg with their hair on fire?
It will be.
You know it will be. And the environment will be tough.
This needs to be, you can say this about any closeout game. The team that's up needs to punch them in the mouth early.
Yeah.
They're on the road. Silence that crowd and get them frustrated.
Yeah.
Force them into frustration penalties, feel good penalties. On discipline, you can make the case that's the same thing. Get them into feel good penalties. We're down. I'm gonna take a whack at McCarr at his ankle.
Because when you listen to what they're saying in the clubhouse compared to what coach is saying on the podium, there's a disconnect for Winnipeg right now.
Well, I think even though they won't admit it publicly and they will say this is different than what happened against Vegas last year.
Yeah, fair.
I'm sorry, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. You win the first game.
You won the first game, and then you're going to get pretty much blown out in the next four. Right now it's three. We'll see if it's four. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
According to Adam Schefter, the Broncos really like quarterback Spencer Rattler, and with the Thunder finishing off the Pelicans, we'll discuss if OKC or Minnesota was more impressive in their first-round sweep. That's next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman, Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Roller Auctions, Twitter feed at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman today. Auction featuring vehicles, trailers, ride-on mowers, lawn and garden equipment, a hot tub, a boat, and more. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. And the auction is open at rollerauction.com. In the meantime, not only do I believe that the Lakers have been dismantled, but now it looks like this is the end of the road for Darvin Ham. Reports are that he is unlikely to return next season.
Yeah, I thought Michael Malone saw that coming last night in his remarks, which were very supportive and respectful of Darvin Ham, but you know, it's all about the results, and this is a first round washout
for the second year in a row against the same team,
against the Nuggets. Right.
Time now for the final word.
The final word. presented by Greenfields Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfields has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys, just in case you missed it, according to Adam Schefter, the Broncos and Falcons were the two teams that liked Spencer Rattler the most, and Schefter said on the Pat McAfee show that he believed the Broncos and Falcons had a mid-second to early third-round grade on Rattler. He did end up slipping to the fifth round, where the Saints took him 150th overall. Any thoughts on the interest the Broncos had in Spencer Rattler?
Yeah, I'm not surprising. In fact, that's where they would have gone in the middle rounds for a quarterback if the situation hadn't worked out where it did in the 12th pick for Bo Nix.
We will talk more about this either tomorrow or later in the week. Sean Payton is getting skewered by the national media for taking Bo Nix at 12. Either he is going to look like a genius, or the way people look at Sean Payton. Listen, at the end of the day, I think any media member that covers him would agree Sean presents himself as the smartest guy in the room.
Yes.
And he's not shy about telling you he's the smartest guy in the room.
No, he'll call his shot.
Yeah. Mike Shanahan was that way to an extent, but not as in your face about it. We deal with Sean all the time, and I hope it works out for him. But he is going to, his reputation will always be tied with Drew Brees.
Yeah, to a degree, but
this is going to take, if Bo Nix does not work out, he is going to take a big hit for believing he was the smartest guy in the room, having Nix as number 3 on his draft board. And I believe he was number 3 on the draft board.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not J.J. McCarthy and not Drake May.
Right.
All right, just in case you missed it, the Oklahoma City Thunder won their first playoff series since 2016 with their 4-game sweep over the Pelicans. All 5 starters scored in double digits last night for OKC, and the youngest number 1 seed in NBA history now awaits the winner of Clippers-Mavericks. Who was more impressive to you in their first round sweep, Minnesota or Oklahoma City?
Minnesota, yeah. Because they played a better team. But I'll tell you what, Oklahoma City is fun. They're good. I love their youthful enthusiasm for the game and for the moment. There's just a lot to like about the Oklahoma City Thunder. There really is. I mean, Ali LaForce probably doesn't like him a great deal, you know, for kind of, you know.
She got ditched.
Yeah, for ditching on a national interview post-game. But that's part of the likability, I think, of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're a fun team to watch. The Western Conference playoffs are damned intriguing on a lot of different levels. And most of it has to do with the personalities that are still going to be playing when this thing starts out.
Barring injuries and barring the Minnesota Timberwolves getting dismantled because of cap concerns,
yeah,
and money,
which
with ownership,
yeah,
right? Well,
right.
Not if you're a Nuggets fan, not if
no,
you're a Thunder fan.
No, I know.
Fan,
that's not the way you want it to go down, but I feel you.
The Timberwolves and Oklahoma City are trending up like a rocket. Okay, the Nuggets are already there. They are the champs. These three teams are going to be competing for a title and giving each other body blows for the next 3 to 5 years.
You're right.
And you know what? I don't know if the Nuggets make it 5 years.
Yeah, and they may not. But I'll tell you what, I'm all for it. I mean, I'm here for that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
To watch this night in and night out. It was fantastic this year with those three teams at the very top.
By the way, on a complete side note, I will never work with AT&T ever because of that commercial. With Shea.
What a pro one.
Yeah.
It is beyond annoying.
Is it beyond annoying because it's annoying or because it's played every single spot break?
Well,
both, I think.
Well, with all due respect, that Hotels.com commercial with Jokic is played all the time, too.
Yeah.
And while it's funny, it's not that funny.
It was okay funny the first time. It's kind of like,
it's not as funny anymore.
No, it's not.
But that 18 is just so brutal that if I ever hear that song sung again outside of them, I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Because they're such bad singers. And that is completely ruined
well,
for me.
Well, fortunately, they're very good basketball players.
They're amazing
players.
Basketball
yes,
players.
Yes, they are.
All right, that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk into any store throughout the appliances before you buy them. They have a great deal going on right now where, they have a price match guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Find something someplace else, go to Mountain High Appliance. That's great. They can redesign your entire kitchen. Great financing options. Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, would you put Jamal Murray's performance in last night's game anywhere near the Michael Jordan flu game? Willis Reed coming onto the floor, especially with the way it ended. Yeah, he took a lot of shots, but he also took the most important shot when it mattered the most. Again, that's next.